Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
We have a piece of scripture that I fear often gets overlooked. When we're looking at the resurrection and the ascension and the burial and everything of Christ, this piece of scripture doesn't get the attention that I believe it deserves. And from it, there is an amazing lesson that comes out of this passage of scripture. And it's something that I'm glad as we go through a study of the book of the Bible that we come across passages like this. Because while they don't get a lot of fanfare in topical preaching, when we do it expositionally, when we do expository preaching, we have to take the whole thing into context. And there is something here for us this morning. As a matter of fact, we are going to look at facing our fear in order to serve the Lord openly and honestly. So from John chapter 19, beginning with verse 38, let's go to God's Word. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in the linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never a man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. May God add blessing for the reading of His Word this morning. From this passage, we're going to see that the cross of Christ changed the lives of two men. Now, we know the cross and the death of Christ. We know it changes the hearts and the lives of many people. All who come to Him as Lord and Savior have their lives permanently changed. But we're going to look at two people this morning. These two people are very significant because when we look at God's Word, we see something and observe something right off the bat that's very significant. These two men were spiritual cowards. They were spiritual cowards. They came to the cross bound by fear. But we also know from God's Word, when they left filled with courage. Today, many of us find it easy to identify with Joseph of Arimathea and with Nicodemus. We find it possibly easier to identify with them than anyone else at the cross. Many of us have known what it is to remain silent when we should have spoken about Christ. We've kept our relationship with Jesus secret when we knew in our heart it should be something that is shared. And shared with love and with enthusiasm. But yet, too often, we kept it quiet. In many ways, Joseph of Arimathea was a very admirable man. He is presented from the pages of the New Testament as someone that had great morals, someone who had great character, great credibility, someone who had a lot of influence in the community. That doesn't always mean that a person is where they should be with the Lord, though. Good moral people can die and wind up in hell. People with a lot of influence can die and wind up in hell. People with the best of intentions can die and wind up in hell. That is a reality that's given to us from God's Word. We know that from the previous passage that we've studied, or passages we've studied, the Sanhedrin made decisions that had to be unanimous. Well, if that's the case, since Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were both members of the Sanhedrin, they had to be in one of two places. Either they were not present when the Sanhedrin voted to accuse and convict Jesus, or they were, and they went along with the crowd. Either way, they put themselves in a spot where they could have been a voice for Jesus. They could have stood up and stood out for Christ, but they chose not to. So, we have the false trials of Jesus. We have Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus possibly being absent, that being easier than speaking up for Jesus. If not there, they wouldn't have to make it known that they were a disciple. They wouldn't have to make it known that they were a follower of Christ, because it would kind of get in the way of things. It would cause problems and difficulties that they were not really sure how to deal with. After Christ's death, however, Joseph and Nicodemus, they could keep their secret no longer. The convictions of what Jesus had done on the cross, the reality of what they had seen, the honesty and the love and the compassion of Christ freely and willingly giving up His life for all of humanity to save the sins of all. The conviction of that had gotten so real and so great that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus both had to do something. They had to start making a stand. They had to start being courageous for Christ. It took courage for Joseph to go to Pilate and ask for Jesus' body. Now, he did go to Pilate. The Bible's clear. He didn't go to Caiaphas, he didn't go to the high priest, he didn't go to any one of the Sanhedrin. He went straight to the governor himself. He went straight to Pontius Pilate. And he asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate recognized Joseph as being a member of the Sanhedrin. And he gave it to him. So Joseph of Arimathea went and took the body off the cross. And then we carry on our passage. That was the amount of influence that Joseph of Arimathea had with the government of Rome. This is a public sign of friendship and support for Jesus. Well, from the passage this morning, and from the thought and the idea of a courageous Christ and being courageous for Christ, I want to give you three things that I've gleaned from this chapter, or gleaned from this passage. Three things that I believe will help all of us when we are faced with the decision. What will we do for Christ? Will we be a coward or will we be courageous? And we will be faced with those. Maybe you already have been faced with that decision. Maybe you made the biblically correct decision. Maybe you didn't. I don't know. I'm not about nitpicking those things this morning. But I do want to encourage you from God's Word today what we need to look for in our personal lives to avoid being a Joseph of Arimathea or avoid being a Nicodemus as they were, and step forward and be a Joseph of Arimathea and a Nicodemus as they are given here in this passage. First, I want us to look closely and see that there was a cause for their fear. John reveals Joseph like this, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews. But let's look at that and think about that a little closer. Was it really because he was afraid of the Jews? I don't think so. when I look at that passage and I examine it in the original language, or look at it in the Greek, I don't see it being a cause because of the Jews. What I see it being is he was afraid of what the Jews could do to him. He was afraid of the results of what they could do. The Jewish community was a very powerful, very influential community. It was so powerful, it was so influential, that even the Roman government kept it under a very tight thumb. They kept their hand on the Jews very tightly so that they wouldn't become rebellious, so that they wouldn't come up with some type of a revolution. So what could have caused his fear? Well, one thing is that it could have been Joseph of Arimathea was more concerned about his position with men than he was his position with God. After all, we're talking about a wealthy man. We're talking about a businessman. We're talking about someone who had social influence. We're talking about someone who had political influence, as we've seen. He could have been more concerned about losing any of that influence in the eyes of man than he would have been about being an influence in the heart of God. That brings us to a point. Are we someone who will keep silent when we hear Christ being criticized? Or are we someone that's willing to stand up and be a bold witness for Jesus? When it comes down to a point in our life, in our day-to-day life, when we have to make a decision, are we going to be more concerned about our influence with people, about our influence with careers, about our influence in politics, about our influence in anything going on around us in the world? Are we going to be more concerned about that than we are about how God views us in His eyes? Now, we can come back and we can say, well, I'm afraid to stand up for Jesus because of, and we can fill in that blank. Joseph of Arimathea did it and he filled it in with the Jews. But in reality, it was not the Jewish people he was concerned about. It was his influence and how he might be perceived. How they would perceive him or how God would perceive him. We have to realize we find ourselves daily with decisions in life. How will men see us? How will the world see me? How will God see me? How do we make those decisions? How do we make a decision in life? How do we make a decision at work? How do we make a decision in our family? How do we make a financial decision? How do we make any type of decision when we have to weigh the balances between what man thinks and what God thinks? That may sound simple, but it isn't. We can sit here in church this morning and we can say, amen, preacher, I'll always make that decision for God. Will you? When it comes time at work and someone is struggling for something, struggling to deal with something, and they come to you and they ask you for some type of advice and some type of question that they need an answer to, are you going to give them the answer of the world or are you going to give them God's answer from His Word? Are you going to risk the supervisor finding out that you mentioned the name of Jesus at work? Are you going to weigh in and run the risk that you might get pushed aside because you mentioned Jesus? Oh, they're one of those Bible thumpers. They're one of those people. They're one of those Christians. They're one of those holy rollers. Are you willing to risk the criticism and the ridicule of the world to give the right biblical and godly answer? To stand up for God, to be a bold voice for Christ? Joseph of Arimathea, and Nicodemus both had lived their lives secretly for Jesus. Now, at the death of Christ, when they saw Him hanging on the cross, it broke their heart. And they realized where they had stood in life, and they realized what was going on in their life, and they suddenly decided and made a repentance. No longer were they willing to be a coward. Now they are wanting to be courageous for Christ. What is it going to take in our lives today for us to be courageous for Christ? What has to happen for us to see Jesus the way they saw Him? Where we were willing to go claim Christ. Claim Christ to the government. Claim Christ to the religious leaders. Claim Christ to all of the elites that are out there in the social world. Claim Christ to everyone vocally and boldly and proclaim Him vocally and boldly. Are we willing to get rid of the cause of our fear for Christ? He is worth it. He is worth all of that. Will there be losses for it? Absolutely. I'm certain Joseph of Arimathea suffered greatly in the culture and in the social areas of the town. He lost a lot of his influence because he was now affiliated with those Christians. I can hear it now. I knew there was something about him. I knew there was something. He's been one of those Christians the whole time. That's why he acted so different. That's why he behaved so strange. I knew there was something about Nicodemus. He always avoided all the meetings and all of the important stuff. He was never around, never available for anything. But now they were there. It was known. So that brings us to the next point. What was the cost of their fear? Here we read with observation and attempt to put ourselves in a situation, but the Jewish businessman, the one that the businessman Joseph found himself in, one thing that fear cost him was an opportunity of fellowship with Jesus. If we're too afraid to speak up for Jesus, we're hurting ourselves. It is our fellowship with Him that we're hurting. It's our connection with Him. It's how closely we walk with Him that we're hurting ourselves. Had you rather walk closer to Jesus or closer to the world? That's what it comes down to. When we are afraid to stand up as Christians, when we are afraid to take a public stand in any venue, in any area, we are saying that we had rather stand with the world than we had with Christ. Is fear keeping you from a closer walk with God this morning? Is fear of what other people may say? Is fear of what other people may do? Is it keeping you from walking as closely with God as He wants you to walk? It's something that we have to face, especially in the day and the age that we live in. Go on to social media. Go on to Facebook. Go on to Twitter. And let it be known that you are a born-again Christian and you stand with Jesus. And you stand with the Word of God as being infallible, inerrant, and inspired. And I promise you, it won't take long till the demons and the vultures of hell are all over you. You don't have to go and say anything to them. You don't have to go point them out. You just have to make a public vocal stand of where you are as a Christian, and they will come to you. Are we willing to count that cost? Are we willing to stand up for Christ? Are we willing to stand up for the Word of God as it is written? Not compromising it. Not trying to sanitize it to suit other people. I don't believe in being brash and harsh with God's Word in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But I do believe it is my responsibility as a pastor and as a preacher to boldly proclaim it as the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God to all of mankind. We can't compromise it. The pastors can no longer compromise it. Churches can no longer compromise it. Christians have to find and have to make the decision. Am I walking with the world or am I walking with God? And we have to count the cost of making that decision. Well, we've identified the fear. We've identified the cost of the fear. But do you realize there is a cure for the fear? It isn't a decision that lies exclusively in your heart and in your life by yourself. It's not turning over a new leaf. It is not making a decision to go with this group or that group. It is not saying I want to affiliate here or unaffiliate there. Now, there's a cure. The cross of Christ has the power to cure fear by allowing us to see the end of fear. As Joseph and Nicodemus saw Jesus hanging on the cross, they could see the end. They could see the end of their cowardly actions. Deep in their heart, they knew that their silence had played a part in that death. They realized that their silence had prompted them to act in ways that God did not like, that Christ would not hold up to, that Christ would not care for, that He would rebuke them for. Had Joseph and Nicodemus not done what they'd done, do you realize that Jesus' body might have been thrown in a trash heap or burned or left for vultures to pick apart? That was what would happen to a crucified criminal in this day. They were not taken down from the cross and buried. The only way that happened would be if their body would be taken over by a family member, and the family member would take responsibility for that. When they were hung on the cross, the Roman government left them there for the vultures to pick apart. That was what the end game was for the crucifixion of Christ. Until God touched the heart of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, and Joseph came and claimed that body, and they buried it. They went about the burial rituals that were there for the Jewish people. And Jesus was King of the Jews. They buried Him as a respectable Jewish citizen. The cure for the fear is being submissive to Christ. Are we willing to be submissive this morning? Are we willing to give ourselves over? In Nicodemus, over in John chapter 3, we hear the story of Nicodemus and how he came to Jesus by night and how he came with the intent of giving Jesus glory for being a teacher, and that he knew that he was a man of God. He knew all of that. But he was afraid of people. And Jesus taught him. Most of the chapter 3 of John is about Nicodemus. That famous verse, John 3:16, is Jesus speaking in a conversation with Nicodemus. Jesus laid upon him and in his heart that there is no other way into heaven except through Him. Not through the high priest, not through religion, not through meeting any type of ritual or ceremony. It is accepting Jesus Christ. Nicodemus, I believe, did that. But I believe Nicodemus struggled with his fear. With his fear of the religious leaders. I believe Nicodemus struggled with all of the other things that were going on in society, just like Joseph of Arimathea struggled with them. But in the end, when God challenged them at the cross, they came through. They set aside their fear. They confessed their fear to the Lord, and they moved on. They let Him carry them on. You know, that's what we have to do today. We have to come to a point where we realize our fears of serving the Lord. Whatever they may be. Whether they are, whether it is finances, whether it is careers, whether it is any type of work or whatever it may be going on. I don't know what you may be suffering and dealing with in your life, but if you have fears this morning that are holding you back from moving forward with serving God, there is a cure for them, and it is laying them at the foot of the cross. It is claiming Jesus for your own. It is taking Him and taking responsibility for Him in your life and letting Him live through you. Letting Him have that role in your life as Lord and Savior. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to follow to an end what Joseph of Arimathea done and what Nicodemus done? Are we really willing to do that? That's what it is going to take. We are going to have to put Jesus first. We're going to have to put His needs, His desires. We're going to have to confess to Him and turn ourselves over to Him. At the beginning, I asked and told you that we're going to be facing our fears to serve the Lord openly and honestly. So this morning, as I close, are you ready to face that fear? Are you willing to do more than face it? Are you willing to set it aside? And are you willing to take Jesus and move ahead with Him? Move forward with Him without any worry about what the world may have to say. Let's pray. Heavenly Father and Lord God, I thank You for the privilege and the opportunity this morning to share Your Word. I pray that it touch hearts and lives. I pray that we could set aside our fears and we could set aside the things in our life that You point out to us that are keeping us from walking close with You. I pray we would be a bold voice for Jesus Christ and a bold voice for salvation to those who are struggling this morning. Help us, Heavenly Father, to draw close to You. Convict us. Each one individually, as You know our needs and our hearts, help us to find that courage to stand up for Jesus. In His name I pray. Amen.